of Kerry when they won the National League in 84, he won 6 All-Stars in a row. He was captain of Ireland in 1984 and 1986, and he was also on that great team of Irish when they went out to Australia in 1996. He won 1 minor, and he won 3 under-21 All-Ireland medals. Jack O'Shea, you're very welcome to Tellus Talk.
Thank you very much, Richie.
Yeah, man, great to have him.
Oh, great to have him, and I think somewhere along there we should have missed out on some under-14 medal he won with St. Mary's. I think he says that Jimmy Musgrave's here with us tonight, says that was probably where it all started. Jimmy actually said before the programme that Jack owes most of his football skills to Jimmy.
Well, of course, Jimmy Musgrave is in the studio with us, a great friend of Jack owes, the St. Mary's Castlevine man, but he's keeping in the background. Jack, does he keep in the background a lot?
Well, he was always a little bit quiet, but you know, when he got out and about, he was easy to get around him, so he was a good buddy all the way through my career, yeah, my life.
Jack, listen, it's great to have you anyway. You're down on holidays, of course, from Leafslick. You come home every Christmas and you do. And our good friend Pat Moriarty, who I want to thank sincerely for putting you on the spot, because he set us up. But you come down every Christmas. Talk to us about your holiday when you come home, what you do, and why you like coming home to Kerry so much.
Well, I suppose it's a big change not to be coming home as much as before. When I was playing, I was probably home. I suppose the first, initially when I moved to Leixlip in 1978, I was going on the Kerry senior team at that stage. And, being involved with the Kerry team, it took a lot of travelling up and down involved with the team. And I also carried on to play with St. Mary's in Castlevine for 7 years after moving. So that basically meant that I was on the road to Kerry at least every 2 weeks, if not every week, which entailed a lot of travelling and a lot of time. But I enjoy that, you know, and it's something, I transferred in to play with Leixlip, we'll say, in 1984. And it's something it's a very hard decision to make because... And like I would even say that there's nothing like playing for your own and playing in your own town and playing with the people that you were reared with and whatever. And it is a difficult transition to make. At Christmas time, I love to come home, naturally enough, to come home to see my mother, my father who's passed away a few years ago, and all my sisters and that. And it's great to get down to meet them all, meet all my relations, meet all the people I grew up with and all the characters that are involved with the St. Mary's GAA Club. Love to come home at Christmas time as well, because growing up my father was very fond of beagle hunting, and this is a tradition which is very, very strong down there in South Kerry, and I want to say hello to all my mates, my beagle hunting mates down there in South Kerry. But here's a great tradition. I always found it great for my fitness and for my stamina and that to be climbing mountains. And actually yesterday I was on top of Cnutna Dubra, which is the big high mountain as you go into Castlevine on the right hand side, snow and all. I was up there yesterday, and I find it great. Great way to relax, particularly. And I often say to myself when I'm on top of it, just lying down on the mountain, I say to myself, what am I doing up in Dublin? You know, it's sort of way. So it is very relaxing to come down. Again, I suppose to meet the family, to do a bit of beagle hunting. I suppose to regenerate all the old friendships again. That's lovely.
Jacko, talk to the people about where you came from, who you came from in your young days, and talk away with you.
Well, I suppose I'm a townie, number one. I was born in Castlevine, a new street in Castlevine, and my house is actually opposite the football field in Castlevine, I suppose, which was the initial thing that I was going to start playing football very, very early. My father never played very much football. I don't think he played football at all, really. On his side, there wouldn't have been very much football. On my mother's side, I had a few uncles that played with Fáil Mór, which would be a great club back in, I suppose, in the 40s and the 50s, and who I believe were very good players, good footballers. But I suppose the instigation was for me to go playing football was that I was living so close to the football field in Castlevine. And, you know, at that time, I suppose, you know, it was very strong. Football is very, very strong in South Kerry. Like all the other young players, like Jimmy and every other young player, we had went to the Christian Brothers School in Castlevine, who initiated, I suppose, started us off playing. We had some very good tutors there. We had teachers like Donny Riley from Sneem, North Mercian, who passed away. And we had a Father Maximini priest in Castlevine at the time. Then we had all the Christian Brothers School in Castlevine. And they brought us forward. That was the nursery, really, for all the football for the St. Mary's players. And I think of all the clubs in South Kerry, not being biased or anything, but St. Mary's has and always was and always will be, I think, strong in that department at underage. And I think the difficulties for the likes of St. Mary's comes a bit later on when the fellas get older and move away or whatever. But at underage, they will always be there or thereabouts. The nurseries are there, as I say. And then, of course, I had the privilege, I suppose, of having two of my idols. I suppose, two of the greatest players that ever played with Kerry and played in Ireland, Michael Conlon and Michael Dwyer. They used to come to Castleveen to train regularly. When they weren't training with Kerry, the days that they were off, they would come in for a few kicks. And I would just go there and be their ball boy and just watch what they were doing. And I suppose, you know.
Just before Eamon comes in, talk to us about that. Those days when you were the ball boy, what did you see? What did they mean to you? What were you doing in the field? Used to look forward to them? Or, because this is kind of a thing that has gone down in folklore a bit now. Jack O'Shea, ball boy for Mick O'Connor, Mick Dwyer.
Yeah, well, I suppose I was ball boy in every game that I was ever playing in Castleveen because I was always behind the goal. You've probably seen yourself playing there, which everybody else has played in Castleveen because, you know, I had my own game behind the goal, kicking the ball back to these when the ball went over the bar or whatever went wide. We'd nearly have a contest behind the goal to get the ball to kick it back. Michael Conlon and Michael Dwyer were two idols. They were like two gods. And I remember, you know, just watching the skills, what they were doing. Like these two players, and I think the two of them had the same beliefs all the time and ever have and ever always will have in football, that if you cannot catch a ball and kick a ball, that you cannot play Gaelic football properly. And like they're the two basics of the game, really. If you can catch and kick every time the ball comes in your possession and kick it properly and catch it properly, you know, you're halfway there. And they spent hours at that. And just watching the style, like Mick O'Connell, to me, had a very, very unique style. You know, I've never seen anybody kick a ball like him because he's that kind of a unique style himself. Dwyer then was the one that, you know, forceful man, the man that just always give you 100%. And I think he showed in the teams that he trained afterwards, like he just translated that effectiveness that he had as a player onto the teams. So I was privileged just to be there. And occasionally O'Connell would turn to me and kick a ball at me, you know, and if I didn't catch the ball, he'd say, like, you have to learn how to do that. Like these players were only standing 5 and 10 yards apart, blowing the ball as hard as you would be kicking a 40 or 50 yards. And like that was amazing just to watch their ability to be able to catch a ball, you know, so close in that.
Amazing stuff, yeah, man.
And
yeah.
It's I suppose what took me really was the hours and the hours that they spent when other Kelly players probably were, I don't know what they were doing, but these lads just spent their precious time, you know, forging their own skills and spending hours and hours. And they would vary it from 50 and 60 yard kicks to 5 yard kicks. You know, and even my own training time up in Dublin with Micheál O'Meara Hertig and Micheál could testify to this, that there was nights he would stand 5 and 10 yards away from me and blow the ball as hard as he could at me. And I'd be trying to catch the ball either side of my body without getting my body behind it. You know, just strengthening your hands and strengthening your fingers and getting your eye in and that. And that was it. And then I remember one occasion, and as Jimmy is here now, it's one that really stands out in my mind. I remember the first time ever going to see a Kerry team train. I think it would be back around 1968, 69, Kerry would be involved in the All-Ireland final against Down, I think, at the time. And we at home, my father got injured quite young in his life, so we never had a car in our house at home. So it was a rarity for me to get a spin in the car or go in the car. But Jimmy has an uncle out in Zambia, a brother, Keating, and who was a football fanatic. He was in the North Mall in Cork for a while and that, and he was actually home at the time. So the Musgraves are privileged. They had a car and whatever. And their uncle got a loan of the car from their father one night, and he decided we'd go to Killarney to see, or to Tralee, I think it was actually, to go to a training session. And he asked me, would I like to come? And of course, that was the thing for me. So I said, great. We went off. I remember he stopped somewhere in Killogden on the way up, and he bought a football, one of the brown footballs with a lace in it. I'll never forget, a size 4 football. And we went into Tralee, and you know, at that time there was no real physical training, like, you know, it was all ball with the players and whatever. So Brother Keating just suggested that with this ball, like, I didn't know what the ball was for. I never heard of an autograph ever before this in my life. So he decided we'd get all the Kerry team to autograph the ball. It'd be unique to have it. I think the Musgraves still actually have the ball today. And we said we'd get all the players. So when the training was finishing up, or whatever bit of game they had, they were having a few kicks and that, and we decided we'd go around to all the players. And I remember I was saying, I think maybe to Jimmy time, we'll leave Conlon and Dwyer at last, because we'll get them any time in Castleveen, you know, we'll get everybody else. So we got the whole after them, and we had just the two to get, Mico and the two Micos, and we went to Mico Dwyer first, and he signed the ball. I remember going over to Conlon, and, you know, knowing him that I was his ball boy in Castleveen, and handing him the ball. Give me that, he said, I'll give you my autograph. And he put it down the ground, he kicked it over the bar. He said, that's my autograph. So we never got O'Connell's name actually on the football, I would think, but I think the Musgraves still have that ball at home.
Lovely story, Jack.
Back, just bringing you on a bit now, Jacko. A kind of a strange question, maybe. Was Jack O'Shea a lucky Kerry minor or an ideal Kerry minor?
I would say I was an unlucky Kerry Minor in 74. I actually made a Kerry Minor team in 1974, and Eamon, I actually played in the first round, I think it was against Waterford at Tipperary, in Castle Island. It was.
You scored 1-5, Jack.
1-4 and 1-5, and I was actually dropped for the most of the final. I was very disappointed after that. So I suppose I was fortunate in the following year to be part of a very good minor team, yeah.
We'd want to find out who the selectors were, Rich.
We would. Well, talking about that, of course, Jack O'Won 3 under 21s. Now, the quiz tonight, while we're on it, the quiz is about Jack O'Shea, and it's for a voucher for £60, and also, we're also giving away, Jack O, that's a beautiful calendar these Kerry board brought out there. You might just talk to us about it for a few minutes. Lovely calendar these Kerry board brought out. They're selling for £5, by the way. Beautiful coloured calendar. We'll give one of them away also with the voucher. And the question for the quiz is, and Michelle will be waiting for your call, what year did Jack O'Shea win his first under-21 All-Ireland football medal? What year did he win his first? Michelle is waiting for your call, 066-7123-666. Nice calendar there, Eamon.
Yeah, it's a lovely calendar, and again, it's I suppose the year that's in it, it's an ideal opportunity, and a lot of clubs, I see you launched the one in Leixlin yourself, the East Kerry one, and, you know, it's a nice way of remembering, and it's much cheaper than a book, and it's a great way for clubs to raise a few bob, and, you know, it's a momentum of a special year, 1999. Jack, on back into minors, where were the influences and the comrades you picked up at minor level?
Well, I suppose, you know, growing up, your ambition is always to make the Kerry team and play with the Kerry team, and I suppose that begins at minor level if you're fortunate enough to get onto the Kerry team. Now, we always felt in South Kerry, you had to be twice as good as anybody else to get out onto the Kerry team. I don't know whether that still applies or not, but... I suppose I was fortunate enough that I did come into a great setup at the time. You know, we had some good players coming through together at that time in 1975. And I suppose, you know, to your question, Eamon, I suppose, you know, the privilege of going to represent your club at a county level, you know, for the initial time is a great thrill in life, you know.
And from there then, Jacko, the graduation to under-21s and seniors, was that very difficult?
I don't think you look at the difficulty at the time because, you know, your heart and soul is in football. And I think no matter what grade you're playing, you never take notice of that. Because at underage level, I was kind of playing with, say, under 16 and minor probably at the same time with St. Mary. So the transition was never difficult. Now, I suppose the biggest transition of all is the meeting up of players, other players, and, you know, forming up relationships with other players and that sort of thing. But I never seemed to have a difficulty in that line. And it was one thing I always kind of felt throughout my career, that if possible, I would always help players coming into teams. And, you know, I would have a little word in their ear and give them a bit of encouragement, because I got that when I came into the team. And once you're made feel welcome, I did feel a bit, I suppose, early on when I did come in, you know, in 75, 76, 77, coming to play with these players who had already won a senior All-Ireland medal. That is a difficulty, you know. So to get over that initial transaction is a big difficulty.
We're going for a short break. Jack will be staying with us. We have loads to talk about. Just before I go, I spent a lovely evening down in Glen Bay yesterday. Bit of song and dance. I got involved in a bit of a session, but there was one great man there. He was asking for you and said to tell you he was asking for. He's Mike Perry O'Shea. He knew you dead well, Lord to mercy. He said he drank a few pints with him. And Mike Perry O'Shea, he's a wonderful storyteller and a great singer and plays the melodeon. And we had a marvellous evening down in Glen Bay. But Mike Perry from Dukes in Glen Bay said, Jack, to tell you he was asking for you. And Mike Perry, lovely singer. We're going to go back after Christmas and we're going to tape all those songs. Because as you said yourself, if anything happens, the song will go with you. We'll be back, Mike. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly in Tennis Talk. And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're talking to Jack O'Shea, the last Terrace Talk of the century. By the way, what year did Jack O'Win? His first under 21 medal, the 8th correct caller to Michelle will get the quiz voucher for £60 and that beautiful calendar by the East Kerry Board. Jack O, when you came out of minor going into senior, there were rumours that you take a few drinks and you weren't too dedicated. What was the big change that came over you? And by the way, did you visualise at that time that you would go on and win all you did? Talk to us about that part of your life.
Everybody hears about these things, Rishi. I suppose, you know, the first drink I ever took in my life, I suppose, was which at the time I suppose it was a bit unusual. I was actually 18 years, I was the night we won the minor All Ireland medal, because that was the first night I ever took a taste of the drink. I think prior to that, you know, brought up in a fairly strict home, my father would be fairly strict to me and whatever and that. I'd be afraid to do anything like that. But I think that night, I think like everybody else, you know, you have ambitions and you look to the future and you look to things you can achieve and that. And I think that night, I thought I had achieved everything. And I suppose to celebrate with all the rest of my friends in the Kerry team, I took a drink for the first time. Now, I suppose for the next year and a half, I was taking a few drinks, you know, but I think it was over elaborated here and there. Okay, I like the drink or whatever, and I think that even without drink, wish I'm a kind of a happy-go-lucky person, and I can go to a dance, and whether I have drinking me or not drinking me, I really go and enjoy myself and that. And I think these kind of things were exaggerated a bit. But I must say, it did interfere probably with the football, that I didn't have as much interest or whatever. And I remember in 1976, when Kerry played Dublin in the All-Ireland final in Dublin that night after the dance, at the wake or whatever it was, after Kerry got beaten by Dublin, the dance and that. And I remember John O'Keefe and Jimmy Deanan coming over to me that night. And John literally putting me up against the pillar, up against the wall, you know, and telling me that I had loads of talent and whatever, and that words into my ear that I had ability, but what I was doing, that I wasn't, you know, producing it or that they needed my ability and to cop myself on or whatever, you know. And I think those words kind of stuck with me ever after. And with the help of other people and whatever, you know, I think what the advice I was getting was that I had talent and why waste it or whatever. So,
and did you come under the wing of Mick Dwyer? Talk to us about that, Jim.
Yeah, you know, Mico was somebody in South Kerry whom I met kind of regularly and that kind of stuff. And when I did come in under his wing, I suppose, it was a big change. It was the first time I was ever kind of managed, we'd say, by a manager, I suppose. It was the first time managers were kind of coming into the game and that sort of stuff. But again, as I said to Eamon early on, the initial meeting up with players who had achieved a lot of success was a little difficulty. But I didn't feel out of the way with Mick O'Dwyer, because I felt, you know, he being a South Kerry man, I felt driving and travelling to training with him was a help in that respect. And, you know, once he picked me up in Castle, you know, he dropped me back. We talk about nothing else, only football and about games and about all different things happening or whatever, you know. So I was getting a kind of an ease into the whole setup, and I think it was an advantage probably I being with Mick O'Dwyer in the car as well, coming up to Killarney every night, that, you know, I didn't feel overawed by Mick O'Dwyer or whatever. I was getting to know him, I suppose, indirectly as well as when he get me. But not that he didn't take it very any easier than me when he got me out onto the training pitch. He pushed me as hard as anybody else, but you know, he as well was an influence on me at that time with, you know, the drinking, that sort of stuff. So I decided then, I suppose, I met up with Mary as well around that time, and I decided then in 1977, I remember, at a St. Mary's function back in the Ringside Rest Hotel, Tom Keane's Hotel in Castlevine, that was it. And I remember saying to my father, we'd have the last bottle of beer together, yeah, and I drank it, and that was it.
Well done.
I
mean,
so
we can reveal now about the quiz. Don't ring about that anymore, but if you want to speak to Jacko, you're more than welcome to ring. Obviously, the answer was 1975, where Jacko said himself he won mine on under 21, and the winner was Kevin Mulbehill from Ashtee.
Good man, so, Kevin. You mentioned Mary, dear, your wife, of course, at least we forget, you have four kids yourself. Jack, talk to us about...
Yeah, Mary, we moved to Dublin in 1978, and we have four kids. Linda is the oldest, the girl. Then you have Kieran and Aidan, and Orla is the youngest girl. And so she's 11 at the moment.
Aidan, I can gather, is fairly promising. Did he represent Ireland at compromise under age rules?
That's Kieran. Kieran, the oldest fella, yeah. He was on the Killarney Minor panel as well this year, but unfortunately he picked up an injury over 12 months ago, and he hasn't been able to play in that since. So, you know, we're hoping to get it right in the next few months. Aidan is very keen as well, and, you know, I give a bit of encouragement, Wishy, but I don't put any pressure on them. And but they are very two lads that are very, very anxious to compete and play in football and that. And that's nice, you know.
Jack O'Shea will be remembered as a great midfielder. But actually, in 75, it was at full forward you were playing, was it, Jack?
Yeah, I was only talking about somebody a few days ago that... I was very disappointed actually in 75 as a minor that I wasn't picked midfield, because I did feel at the time that, you know, that I used to play all my club football with St. Mary's at midfield and that, and that I was a good midfield. But, you know, I think Seamus Fitzgerald was quite shrewd with his selectors that year, that they decided that they needed a full forward, they needed a target man. And I suppose you know, I was playing at midfield, but going through school and that, I was the free taker for the school growing up in all the teams, and I suppose I was fairly accurate at the time. It deserted me for a few years after that, but at that time I would spend a lot of time kicking frees and that sort of stuff, and I was the free taker actually on that minor team as well. So they decided to play me at full forward and they used me as a target man, and it seemed to work quite well, you know.
Checo, when you were going through your wonderful, fabulous career, we all watched you. Coming up, we saw you below playing with South Kerry, we saw you playing with the Marys, and saw you playing with Kerry and Croke Park and everything. We were coming up through your career and we were at the height of it. Were you conscious of tradition in Kerry? What did it mean to you to be a Kerry man and to be wearing the green and gold? John Egan said something lovely lately. He was honoured at your supporters club, and he said something like, when I would put on a Kerry jersey, he said, when I ran out onto Croke Park and when I heard the roar of the Kerry supporters, I felt I was invincible, he said.
Yeah, I think that Kerry players have a great advantage. Tradition is a huge advantage, and I think you get to learn that and you get to know that when you go into other counties and you know, feel the fear that other counties have of Kerry, because they do have a fear when it comes to football. You know, Kerry are spoken about in another world, in another plateau to anybody other county, and you do feel that. But the one thing that always comes through my heart is the visualization of the local people in Carrigaline sitting on the stone bricks on the sideline, the Mikey Andys where we'd grown up, the characters of the town, the people that would, when I would come down from Dublin, like I would leave Dublin at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning to come down to play a club match in Carrigaline and get down to Carrigaline, get into my own house in Carrigaline, pick up a sandwich and a glass of milk, race down to the football field, play a match, and Jimmy Musgrave over there would drive me back to Killarney to rush back to get the train back to Dublin. But the actual feeling of running out onto the pitch in Carrigaline and those people on the sideline, and they were the thing that kept me going, I think, all the time. And, you know, I felt I was doing it for them and I was doing it for everybody else. But, you know, your career, I think, falls into line after that. You know, you can't do it all on your own. And I was very, very fortunate that I came onto the scene at a very, very good time in Kerry football, at a rich time in Kerry football, a rich time with talent. And let's face it, there was a lot of very, very good footballers at my time on that minor team that didn't get a chance to come through, because the Kerry team at the time was a very, very strong team, and there was a talented player, a pool of players there, but those players had to be harnessed and kept together, which is a difficult task in itself, and you can lose a lot of talent in those respects, you know. But luckily enough, we had a very, very talented team. We had a very, very good person, Mick O'Dwyer, to keep us together, and I think together we kind of rode along. And you know, awards and things, we should, they kind of fall into line and you accept them, you know. I'm delighted to accept him in that, but you know, you've other players on the team win these awards for you as well.
Well, we're going for another short break because we've another half an hour of captivating talk with Jack O'Shea. Just before I go, there was a lovely story told on Radio Kerry after they're picking the Millennium team, which you weren't on, by the way. We'll come to that later. And a great friend of mine in Killarney by the name of Jack Heller, he said picking a football Millennium team, he said, without Jack O'Shea was like making a Western without a horse. We're going for a short break. Stay with us and tell us talk. And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Well, Matt Lean of Tea of Tralee has brought out a beautiful booklet. And my goodness gracious me, well done, Bet. The booklet's dedicated to those Kerry men and women who down through the years brought great glory and honour to his native county. Beautiful booklet with loads and loads of information. Eamon, credit him, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I said milestones of Kerry. And, you know, it takes a lot of patience and a lot of work to sit down and do something like that. And yet it's a great reference after. And, you know, sometimes maybe all the facts are hidden inside in big books, but that's a great one, including the one from 1939 that was pointed out to us. One of the milestones of Kerry O'Shamus O'Mahony was born.
Jacko, you were leafing through that little book.
I'm just looking here, Bishy, 1957, they have my date of birth down here as well, when I was born. But it does some fabulous stuff in it here, you know, and it's not just football, it covers all sports and all activities in life in Kerry, so it is very, very...
It's a little gym.
Sure there's a lot of research gone into it, so, you know, very, very good publication.
1959, Leo Griffin, bagman for the Kerry team, starts his career as understudy to Gaffney Duggan. Kerry captured 13 senior All-Ireland titles when Leo retired.
They kind of died up after that. So then I said, Leo will be on the ball now shortly. But I think we have a man from Castlevania on the phone, have we?
We have indeed. And Paddy Downey, 1958, wins All Ireland Senior Softball Signals. Well, Matt Lean, lovely stuff there. A beautiful booklet. No doubt it will be sold out. We are going to the comment line. A great St. Mary's Castlevania man, Kieran McCarthy's on the line to talk to us. Kieran, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Wishy. I want to say congratulations to you all there, and definitely to Jacko, and hello, Jimmy, whatever, Eamon. All I'd say is that I only just want to speak because everyone else is going to talk about his Kelly performances or whatever, which, you know. But I'm only going to speak as the great club man he was for St Mary's, without a shadow of a doubt, here in Castlevine. I mean, we've all got our great moments. I must say, I have one great moment I must talk about, and that is in 1984, after winning in All-Ireland, and I happened to be walking down towards O'Connell Street, and everyone was around, Jack or whatever, and he just said, hello, how you doing, Kim? And congratulations. After all, the, as I say, the shake hands and everything that went with it, I tell him, he says, I'm after leaving the dressing room now, he said above. And you know, Spillane is after telling me, we're playing in the first round of the club championship next weekend, he says. And you know, Spillane says to me, geez, we'll be on the pace, you know, we'll have a few pints or whatever, you know. But I remember Jacko says to me, he said, look, he said, I tell you what you'll do, he said, keep me posted, he said. I want to find out the whole lot of this, he said. So, as make a long story short about it anyway, I rang him on Thursday night. So he said, look, I'm doing a television interview. The game was put down for 2:30 in Killogden on Saturday. Jacko went along, did a television interview that morning, got into his car, drove down, played the game. As it turned out, Spillane gave his all, Jacko gave his all, and in fairness, I must say, the last kick of the game, and Jacko knows what I'm talking about here, 60 yards out, they always said, you know, that sometimes, you know, he wasn't a great kicker or whatever, but by God, he drove us straight through the middle. He's won by a pint, and I think it was a great, great moment. Got into his car, he said, lads, good luck, he says, because I'm on with me Halla Mullahartig the following day, that was a Sunday. So I think, you know, that's the kind of man.
Kieran, he was an exemplary clubman, wasn't he?
An exemplary clubman. And you know, the great thing about it, I don't think he ever got paid for it. You know, things like that, you know, he just got into his car, as he said himself there, you know, he was just go down, come down to the field, have a cup of tea and a sandwich, and away he'd go again, you know.
Well, I was talking to Jonah Murphy lately there. I told Jonah we were having Jacko on, and Jonah said, look, whatever you do, he says, don't forget to mention that man drove down from Kildare and from Dublin and everything, and he never looked for a bob. No. Kieran, thanks for joining us.
You know, that's it.
Yes,
you know, just a little thing I just heard about him, you know. His fellow sportsmen, friends, countrywide, have only the highest admiration and respect for him. Truly one of a footballer's martyrs, he will be spoken when heroes from the past are mentioned, into the future.
We could do it about 5 hours talking. Kieran, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Bye-bye.
And listen, look after so Kerry down and get them watering.
Just on Kieran there, I wish you. Kieran used to be my midfield partner in Castlevine for years, and Kieran was a fabulous runner, athlete as well, and I used to do a lot of cross-country, and we used to do a lot of cross-country together. But he's been one of the mainstays. But, you know, they're the kind of lads I grew up with. Like, in Castlevine, we had a great underage team at that time. You know, Jimmy was on that, and Kieran and all the other fellas in Castlevine.
Good friend of mine in Killarney, Con Shea, Con DeBus. Did you play with Con?
Well, Con was one of the first. He was one of the first Philistines to get soccer in Castlevine, actually, you know, which is a fun one in Castlevine at that time.
Just Terry Murphy from West Kelly. Best wishes to the greatest footballer that Ireland had ever seen. And here he is, we say that. And this is from Stevie O'Connell in Valencia. He said, Jack was a great underage player, and he said, maybe Jack might remember, and I think you did, the likes of Paddy Gallagher, Paddy Murphy, and Jim Carey, I think, was the man, all men who looked after you when you were young. And just a general question, Jack, and we'll try and fast forward, because as we said, we could spend hours. Talk to us about 78, the first All-Ireland, and Offaly in 82.
78, again, you know, I was fortunate enough that I had three under-21 ones under my belt at that stage, and then a minor under my belt. I was kind of, I suppose, in 78, I remember 77 playing the All-Ireland semi-final. I was, 18 going on 19, and I was pitted against Brian Mullins, who was, I suppose, the king of midfielders at the time. And it was a big ordeal for a fellow of 18, 19 years of age. Physically wise, I had no hope of playing or playing with him, you know. So it was a learning process, I think, in 77. And then in 78, I think when Johnny Welsh and myself decided, you know, in 78, that we were given no chance going to the final against Mullins and Brogan. And I remember at the time the two of us getting together before we left the dressing room and said, you know, we're going to give this 100%. And I think that was the beginning of Johnny and myself as a partnership in 78. And I think, you know, I remember the game started off in Dublin, seemed to be steamrolling us early on the first 10 or 15 minutes. And then we got a break where Johnny Egan got a very, very good goal. And I think the whole thing just changed around. And of course, Bomber then took over in the second half and gave an exhibition. But I think there's a day that our team got the belief in themselves that we could beat. I think, you know, in 77, 70, like Dublin came back and beat Kerry in 76 and 77. I think there was a little bit of inferiority complex was there, and that there was a little bit of nervousness I felt in the KT. There was a little bit of self-belief missing. But I think in 78, this all turned. And from there on, I think Kerry took the initiative from Dublin. And I think that was the beginning of a great success run for the team. You know, all through my career, my senior career, I've been away from Kerry. I've been living in Dublin and Kildare, I think, which is a great help to me in a way, that I was away from a lot of the hype and whatever, because, you know, whether we like it or not down here in Kerry, football is spoken about first before religion even, you know. So you don't get that in other parts of the country, whatever. And I think I being up in Dublin, training under Micheál Murray, Hurtig up there, took away a lot of the pressure, a lot of the build-up to the game. Now, 82 itself, I think I think we were unfortunate to lose the game. I think we were the better team on the day. But I will say, and I have said on many occasions since, that Offaly team was a very good Offaly team, because they had come in 1980. We had a great semi-final with them, which was 4-15 to 4-11, I think. Sorry. In 81, we beat them. I got a goal in the last couple of minutes that kind of made the issue beyond doubt for Offaly's point of view. Like, so they had been edging closer. And I think that behind the scenes, Eugene McGee had been doing a lot of homework on the Kerry team. And if you actually look at the Offaly team in 1980 and look at the Offaly team in 1982, the personnel was very much the same, all to one or two people. But the positioning of the Offaly team had changed erratically, and the Offaly team had been moved around a lot. You had the likes of Sean Lowry was playing at centre half back, then he was moved up centre half forward. You had Richie Connor was playing centre half forward, he's moved back centre half back. So McGee was doing a lot of undermining, you know. He was spending a lot of time, I feel, looking at the Kerry team and looking at how he could contract the Kerry team. And in fairness to them, you know, I think they got the break in 82. I still think we had the winning of the game, we say, before Seamus Darby got the goal. But, you know, these things happen, but I will say we were beaten by good Offaly side.
Jack, 83 was a big disappointment, of course. You were captain of the Kerry team in 83, scored two goals against Cork. They got a last minute goal. I believe your members in the square should have been disallowed. That's beside the point. Yeah. Was that a big disappointment? 83, you were captain.
A huge disappointment. I think it was disappointing for both myself and John Egan, actually, because John was captain in 82 and I was captain in 83. The 2 years we won the championship in Kerry, South Kerry, I must say there's a lot of people down there, like Tom Keenan, Donald Costello Sullivan, and these boys had put in a lot of work for us to win county championships. And I think, you know, it was a great thrill for us to win the championship for South Kerry. And but when it came to bringing back the Sam Maguire, the two of us were disappointed. I was felt very sorry for John in 82, but in my own situation in 83, yes, I was very, very disappointed.
What was your biggest disappointment in your career, Jack?
I haven't had too many, Rishi, really. I think that you know, your initial reaction when I lose any game, I was disappointed. No, whether that was for St. Mary's or for Kerry, I was disappointed, no matter who I was playing with. Because that was my, even if it was a challenge game, I just never liked to lose. And that was my, I suppose it was the driving force that I had within
did
me.
Did you beat Cork in that under 14 game that you played?
We did, I think we did, yeah. That was back with Paddy Gallagher and Paddy Gallagher.
Injuries, Jack.
Paddy Murphy back
injuries.
In Carstine as well that time.
Injuries. You always seem to me, they've never been injured.
Well, muscular-wise, I never pulled a muscle in my life. Which has, I suppose, going through the career I've had, it has been very, very unusual. I broke a bone in my hand in a minor game in Killaugh, and a small bone in my wrist. I think it was Neely O'Donovan, that minor mate of mine, back in around 19, I think it was under 16 game or whatever, kind of tripped me from behind and got unexpectedly broke a bone in my hand. And I broke a small little bone in my leg in 1981, I think, before the Munster final. But I actually played in the Munster final and went into plaster the day after the Munster final, and played in the All-Ireland semi-final 4 weeks later. And so I suppose I had good curing. I never worried about injuries, and mentally I never felt I was injured or whatever. And if I had a dead leg or whatever, I always ran it.
The old hamster never.
I don't have any hamsters, Rishi.
Yeah, as the words of the song go, Jacko, I suppose maybe a disappointment. Take us back to Mayo for a minute.
Yeah, I suppose the results were disappointing, but the experience was very, very good. I think that it was a difficult time when I went into Mayo at that time, and I think maybe looking back at it now, I probably did jump in a little bit too early or whatever, you know, my heart was always in football, and so when I did get the opportunity to go, I went to Mayo. I took over a Mayo team that was an established Mayo team. We went on to win the Connacht final the first year. We then to play Cork then in the semi-final, and we did quite well for the first 20 minutes, but just before half-time, I think John O'Driscoll and I think it was Mick McCarthy at the time got a couple of goals and whatever, and, you know, the Cork came out in the second half and steamrolled me on that. And then I was in the awkward situation then that we had an experienced team that were probably gone over the hill, a few of the lads, so I had to kind of go digging then. So I went digging in for comb the county for players and young players. And I think actually when Mayo played in the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, they had 11 of the team I picked up. So it was an experience in itself. It was an education in itself. And hopefully when I do get a chance, and if I do get a chance to go back into to a county team again, that experience will stand to me.
Jack, we're going for a quick break. Just before we go, the Sunday Times here lately, they picked their 10 best footballers of all time. From the bottom up, number 10, Tommy Murphy, Sean O'Neill, Brian Mullins, Trevor Giles, Pat Spillane, number 6, John Joe Riley, Dick Fitzgerald, Killarney man, number 4, Mick O'Connell, number 3, Sean Purcell, the great Galway man, number 2, and number 1, Tommy Conlon's top Gaelic footballers of the century, Jack O'Shea. Just before I go, our good friend in Killarney, John Killer O'Callaghan, the boxing man, he was asking for you. He said to tell you he was asking for you. He's a bit laid up, he said, at the moment, but he's out fitting well again. He said, tell Jack I was asking for him. We're going for a short break. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We are always rushing at the end of this programme. So just let me say that Michelle was on the phone tonight taking her calls. Kieran Horan, he's double jobbing tonight because he's on sound and he's also producing the programme. Well done there, Kieran. Jacko, did I hear there was some fella seen down swimming out in the sea down around South Kerry there? I just got a wink coming in. Do you know anything about it?
I said probably Eric Murphy just down there. The man is mad. He goes out swimming every day of the year. I think he's crazy, but it's great to see him. I was talking to him last night and he's looking as fresh as ever. So it's, I think the swimming is not doing him any harm.
Jacko, this new players association that has started up, not being received too well in Croke Park, is it needed? Are players being looked after properly? Were you looked after properly?
I think it's always going to be difficult for a players association to be accepted in Croke Park. I think that but I think that if they do it constructively, yes, the players can help from it. I think that over the years, I suppose we've been very fortunate in Kerry that we have been looked after, you know what I mean, with food wise and grub wise and that, and our expenses and that sort of stuff. But there's a lot of counties, you know, players are not looked after, which is totally wrong. And the way the game has gone today, and particularly with these new structures that we're going to put in place, there's going to be so much demands on players that I think that if the players' association is a constructive one with constructive ideas, without too elaborate, you know, looking for too much or whatever, I think that there will be success and we'll have this association in total.
Jacko, everybody seen you out in the field there watching the Croke Park and Mr. Fitzgerald Stadium and all, big strong men hitting fellas throwing them aside. Behind it all, are you soft behind it all? Would you be soft with the kids now?
I am a sentimental person. I'm a very affectionate person. Well, things can affect me. If I see something that's sad or whatever, I can get sentimental in that respect. And, I suppose I'm like everybody else. Things do touch my nerve and whatever, you know, and I can get kind of, the temper can get up as well, which helps as well in respect. But I would be fairly laid back, yeah.
Musically?
Kind of a country and western man, and traditional Irish music would be my scenes.
Yeah, man.
Father Brian Kelly from in Castlevine always quotes Jack O'Shea as a good example to the young. And Liam O'Sullivan from Ballyhigh, who walked down in John Dowling's shoe shop, remembers the time when Kieran wanted to buy a pair of shoes. And John Dowling said, he said to the young fellow, Kieran, I presume, he says, if we're half as good as your father, he says, you'll go a long way. So that's a good comment.
Well, I'll tell you one of John Dowling there. In 1980, we went to Australia with the Kerry team. We went on a tour that time, and John Dowling came with us. And he said to me, he said, when your first son is born, he said, I'll give him his first pair of boots, he says.